The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode number 21 of Thyroid Nation Radio Live talk show and podcast. I'm Dana Bowman, founder of thyroidnation.com.
And I'm Sarah Downing.
Sarah's been on the show several times and is an integral part of our Thyroid Nation radio team. You can check out her profile on the radio page and also read her Thyroid Thriver story if you haven't already. And if you happen to be near or around Bucks County, Pennsylvania, look her up for a wonderful Reiki or massage session. She works at Wrightstown Health and Fitness, and she's a very good friend, and I'm glad to talk to her today. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Hi, Dana. Glad to talk to you today, too. Thank you so much. In just a few short minutes, we'll be talking live with two thyroid advocates, the wonderful Jilly Ching and Tracy Keane, joining us live all the way from New Zealand. They are both Thyroid Nation Thrivers, so be sure to check out their stories on the Thrivers page. But first, before we bring Jilly and Tracy on, there are just a few exciting things we want to share. If you're listening, be sure to check out Hashies and Graves Thyroid Nation Radio Talk Show Facebook group, a place where we can all ask questions, get guidance, and find support. Check it out.
Wow, that's such a long name that I've decided we're just going to call it the Hashies and Graves group, because I think if you type in Hashies and Graves, it will just pop right up. So that's going to be the official name from now on. It's just too many words
mouthful.
In there. So that's right. That's the word I was looking for. If you tuned in last week, we hope you did. You heard us chatting with the wonderful Connie Curtis. She was really great. Her website is glutenandfoodallergyspecialist.com. If you missed it, go ahead and check it out in the archives on the Thyroid Nation Radio page. It's a great show, and we had Melissa Phipps as co-host, so if you missed it, she was wonderful too. You can also see the lineup of wonderful and innovative guests we have scheduled on the Thyroid Nation Radio page, including lots of wonderful people that are upcoming, Dr. Donnie Wilson, Dr. Christensen, we have Gina Lee Nolan, so you can check that out, and you can listen to past shows as well.
A very big thank you to our listeners. We want to hear about your Thyroid Thriver journey and story at thyroidnation.com/thyroidthrivers/submit-your-story, whether you are healed or not. It is a journey that counts, and it can often help others feel not so alone, as well as offer a light to the path of their own journey. Okay, Dana, let's get this Thyroid Nation thriving.
Well, let's do it, but first we have to wait till we hear from our friends in New Zealand. They're calling in by Skype. So we just need to give it a couple minutes because the show had to go live, and the little Skype button doesn't show up until it does. So hopefully they're around. Tell me about how you met them, Sarah. How you know them? How you know Jilly? And do you know both of them?
I mean, I don't know them. I haven't met them in person yet. But I've known Jilly and Tracy for quite a while, ever since I've been involved in thyroid advocacy. We just crossed paths, and they seem like very lovely ladies. They're very active in New Zealand, helping other patients. I know Jilly holds a thyroid group, and various people from New Zealand come there to get together, you know, kind of a support group. And so it'll be lovely to talk to them again.
And they both wrote their Thyroid Thriver story, so you can check those out on the Thyroid Nation page. But it was very interesting because they suffer pretty much like all of us. It's one of those stories, those themes that keep seeing to be recurring, right, Sarah? It's like we talked to Helle in Denmark.
Helle, yes. Mm-hmm.
And Helle in Denmark, and she has the same thing. And, you know, here they are in New Zealand, and, you know, it's the same theme. The doctors don't listen. They don't have all the tests. They don't, you know.
And the same issue with, you know, limited medications, getting hold of what they call whole thyroid in New Zealand, what we call natural desiccated thyroid in the U.S. You know, they seem to be, those issues seem to be prevalent across the board.
Yes, I know, right? And I'm just chatting with Julie and Tracy, and they're having a few minutes. It'll be until they get online. They're having just a little bit of problems. So let's just keep talking really quick, and we'll
sure.
wait until we can click them on in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
sounds
tell us
good.
About what's going on with you really quick.
What's going on with me? What do you want to know?
Well, you're busy. You're very busy, right?
I've been busy healing people. Well, healing myself as well. But I find that with a lot of healers, through healing yourself, you know, you get to the point where you want to heal other people. So I had two massages today. I work 3 days a week at the gym. It's funny, really, because when I got thyroid disease myself, I despised gyms because I used to go every day and I was still putting on weight and I felt like such a failure. And now here I am working in a gym and I work out every day and pretty awesome. It's really been a turnaround, and it's, I have to say, had I not gotten sick in the first place, I don't think that I would be where I am now.
Oops. Sorry about that. Had a little
backlash
going on. I was trying to give them the link to make sure they know where they're at. I believe what Jillie said was that she found it online, and it said there's still an hour to go, so she was confused. So that happened with a couple of our guests. I think, you know, the time change, you know, for some reason, it seems to get people sometimes. That happened with Dr. Hosey.
She told us.
And let's see. It happened with Michelle, didn't it?
Yeah, I know how that was like the first show, wasn't it? What an amazing show that one was. I guess it's confusing because of all the different time zones, isn't it? We have so many global viewers and listeners.
I think we've got them both live. Is that you? Are you there, Jillie?
Hello.
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 How are you doing? Good to hear from you.
Oh, yay, we found you. That's good.
Awesome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah.
How are you doing?
Hi.
Yay, we found.
Oh. Have we lost them?
Did we have anybody here?
Hello?
Yes.
We're here.
Do we have everybody? Okay, good. So we have. Can you hear us very good, Jillie?
Awesome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
I think there's some feedback, so you probably need to push pause on your live button because we can hear you talking. We can hear us talking.
You hear?
Do we have everybody?
Oh, my
okay,
goodness.
Good. So we have. So. If you'll push the button on the radio page and you'll push pause at the top, it'll stop.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Are you there?
Jillie, Tracy?
Uh-oh.
I think we may have lost some data.
Uh-oh. Okay, so I think what happens is it's a little confusing. When you go to the Thyroid Nation page for Blog Talk Radio, it gives you the show and it shows it live. But you can also listen to it live, but that's where you call in from Skype. So all they need to do is push the pause button if you're listening, guys, up at the top where it says play, right? Just push pause so that you won't hear the show if you guys call back in. Sorry about that. Anyway, you know, they are calling from halfway across the world. It's already Monday there. In fact, it's Monday morning there, which to me is just so amazing, don't you think, Sarah?
I know. It really is. I was just thinking, you know, years ago, you know, when we were in college, all those years ago, you know, you couldn't even envisage this kind of thing, talking to people from the other side of the world. It's kind of magic,
I know.
Really, isn't it?
It is. It's very, very cool. It's, you know, it's neat to get to hear people's voices And it feels like we've made friends from, you know, all over the world. And then to get to talk to them makes it really neat. You know, like I had lots of correspondence with Hele before she was on the show. And then to actually hear her live was fantastic. And you and I spoke a long time ago before we did the show. And how neat to get to hear your voice and your accent.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. We all have such different accents. I love that. You know, it's such a global thing. It brings everybody together from across the globe.
With a common problem,
but common support.
Yes. And, you know, people will ask me even here, you know, I'm in Costa Rica, and people will say, well, you do a radio show, like, you know, kind of assuming or inferring that there wouldn't be very many people listening. And I'm like, oh, gosh, no, it's global. This thyroid disease is worldwide, I promise. Unfortunately, there are so many people that I get on all the boards and the Facebook groups, and I see all these people from all over the world. Someone was messaging from Tanzania the other day.
Wow.
Just, you know, mind-boggling, right? Mind-boggling.
That's insane. But, you know, on the other hand, we're lucky that we have the internet so that we can connect with other people. It makes me wonder, you know, what it was like for patients before the advent of the internet. You know, they must have felt even more alone than they sometimes do now.
Oh, can you imagine when Mary Showman started?
I know.
Right?
That was quite a while ago. When did Mary start?
I think she said it was something like 20 years ago.
Has she been on the show yet? I know she was going
to
be on the show. Oh, I need to catch up with her.
Yeah, you need to listen to it. It was a wonderful show. She was really great.
I'm sure it was,
she said
no
she would
doubt.
Go to the library. Can you imagine going to the library and she's like, I would be digging through books and trying to get information, and I was just, it's amazing. Now you just type something in the computer. In fact, I'm at fault myself for telling my children all the time. They'll ask me a question, I'll just be like, Google it. It's just awful.
Oh, yeah.
To, you know, telling them, right?
Oh, so, yeah, we take it for granted. I really could not do my translation job without, I mean, I could do, but it would be a lot harder without the internet. All the research you have to do about obscure things, you know? You can find anything on the internet these days.
Yep, I think we've got them. Let's see.
Awesome.
Oh. Hello? Are you there?
We are.
Yay. Welcome back again, Tracy.
Finally.
Yes. So, okay, so we've been talking and talking in circles, just waiting for you guys to get on. It's so good to hear both of your voices. Jilly, go ahead and jump right in and tell everybody a little bit about your thyroid journey, if you don't mind.
Well, I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism when I was 15. My mother, my mother's mother, my father's mother, my father's sister were all hypothyroid, as well as three of my sisters. So it basically runs in the family.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow, that's incredible. Is everybody on different medication?
My mother was... When she was on, first diagnosed, she was on what you would call ARMA, as in what we call whole thyroid extract. But in the 1970s, she was changed to synthetic, T4 only. And looking back, I now realise that over the next 20 years, as each month the handful of pills increased, she was being given pills to treat the symptoms of hypothyroidism and just being told that she was getting old. If she'd stayed on the ARMA, I think she would have been a much healthier woman.
And she was able to get ARMA, and she lived in New Zealand, is that correct?
No, back in the 1970s, they changed. They did, you know, the New Zealand authorities brought in the synthetic T4,
mm-hmm.
and everybody that was on what you call ARMA was changed to the T4 synthetics only.
This is something that happened in the US as well, as I recall. That there had been, I remember reading an article by Mary Showman talking about how there were lots of older people who had been on ARMA their whole life, and then suddenly T4 came in and was, you know, dubbed to be new and modern, and ARMA was seen as old-fashioned, and they were switched to T4 and begging to stay on the ARMA. It's such a crime.
I don't think they realised it in those days. My mother never realised that the T4 was affecting her badly. No one did. she was just told, you're getting old, and therefore you need this for water retention and that for depression. And she would have all these different pills. I don't know what they were all for, but some of them I do know are hypothyroid symptoms. But we didn't know that at the time. Not back in the 70s or the 80s. You believed your doctor.
It seems to be really common that many doctors would rather prescribe you a plethora of pills than give you what you actually need, just, you know, the right thyroid medication. And those pills can often do a lot of damage, right? Did your mother have that issue with the pills that she was prescribed?
Yes, she did. She would take pills lunchtime and evening, and there'd be 8 or 9 of them. But again, did the doctors know? Did they click that it was the synthetic medication that was not acting as good as the armour? It's a very similar issue to what we have now with Eltroxin. Eltroxin has side effects. It's been proven to have side effects, yet most doctors don't know this or don't believe it and continue to prescribe Eltroxin to new patients.
Okay, so for those people that are listening that don't understand exactly, could you explain, Eltroxin is, it's what you guys have in New Zealand that is equivalent to our
Synthroid,
armor,
right?
Or Natrothroid? Or Synthroid?
I think it's equivalent to Synthroid, so T4 only medication, correct?
Yes.
Oh, it's the T4 only.
Yeah.
And okay, only so it's T4 only.
Yeah. And that was the only one we had, the only option we had. For many years.
Up until 2008.
Yeah. And in 2007, 2008, 2009, when they were changing the medication and most people weren't told about it, they just changed it. If they did find out, they were told it was the same. And then people were experiencing a lot of side effects to it. And it wasn't until we actually started getting together on message boards that we discovered that it must be something that was to do with our medication rather than just individual people. And that's when we all started getting together. We managed to get 2 other options and discovered whole thyroid, which is Natrothroid.
And how long ago was that? Did you say 2008?
Yep, 2008, around about, yep.
It was brought into New Zealand in July 2007 and slowly dispensed to customers as their old stocks of Eltroxin ran out. They then started to give the new formula to their patients. I started the new formula in the beginning of December 2007. By Christmas Day, I was basically in bed most of the time, and I just thought I was tired because it was Christmas and I had a very stressful job. January, I went to my doctor and said, look, my eyes are all puffy and watery, I can hardly get out of bed, I'm fatigued, and so she gave me some supplements.
Oh, great.
Well, we didn't know it was the Eltroxin. I had not been told there was a new formulation. I had been taking Eltroxin for 20 years, and I was fine. So there was no reason for me to think it was the Eltroxin. I didn't know that they had changed the formula. So that's the problem.
How easy or difficult is it to find the doctor who is willing to prescribe whole thyroid extracts and for New Zealand patients, how would they go about doing that?
Well, that's the difficulty, really. The majority of doctors here would prefer to just stick with the standard, give you a T4 medication, which is Eltroxin, unless you ask for something else. And if you want something different, it's a real mission to try and find an integrative or holistic doctor who will actually, if they don't know about it, we'll actually go out and learn about it. We find we're doing more of the legwork to find out, give the information to our doctors, tell them this is what we want, and then we are the ones monitoring ourselves, really.
And do you actually have a list of recommended doctors who are open to working with patients and prescribing whole thyroid extracts?
We're building one.
Awesome.
We did have one a few years ago on our website, and then it was recommended to us to actually remove it because there were privacy issues that we've got this Privacy Act here that can cause some problems. So now that we've got a very private Facebook group, we're building another list.
One of our members, Raina Krantz, was wondering what was the actual change in L-Troxin's formulation. You mentioned that that there had been a change. Was it something to do with the fillers, or what was it that changed so that it didn't work as well for some patients?
It was, I think it was a combination. They had a change in the fillers as well as a change in the manufacturing country. So the whole process changed. Because the active ingredients didn't change, they felt they didn't have to do any of the due diligence in going through the whole process again, testing process. But they did actually test it, didn't they, Jilly?
The active T4 does work, and that's the problem. When you get your blood test, it shows that, yes, you're fine, your tissue's within the right parameters. So the doctor says, no, you're fine, look at these blood tests. It's the fillers that changed, and it's the fillers that we react to. There, back in 2007, 2008, there were 70,000 people in New Zealand on thyroid medication. Over the last 40 years, there'd only been two reports of adverse reactions to our centre for adverse reactions. Once L-Troxin, the new formula, came in, I think there were how many? 15,000 reports of adverse reactions. But
wow.
It took government and Pharmac a year to acknowledge them. At first they were saying, oh, it's only women over 60 that take this thyroid medication, so you know, it's not a big deal.
And it was non-compliance was basically what they were saying. That
They always blame the patient first.
They do. And considering that we were never told that you took your L-Troxin on an empty stomach, I turned up at the chemist one day to get my prescription and got handed a wee piece of paper that said, please remember, take this medication on an empty stomach. And I said to my pharmacist, when did they change that? And he said, oh, no, it's always been like that. I said, well, it's the first time I've heard of it.
Crazy.
That is really crazy. 40 years not knowing this.
Wow.
I just can't imagine that, Jilly. That just really, that hits home because, I feel like we're trying to raise awareness and that there's a thyroid movement, but then you hear something like that and you realize it's going to take a while for everybody to jump on board and learn all of the things that you need to know, you know. Just basics, like take it on an empty stomach. You know, a lot of people like to take their T4 in the morning and to have these set things that people don't know, or the doctors and whatever worldwide don't know, just blows me away. It really just, it drives it home that we need to keep doing what we're doing.
Definitely.
It's also educating the doctors, though, because as I say,
right.
Pharmac and MedSafe, which are our government organisations that bring in the medications, have on their information sheets things that need to be done before you prescribe a T4 medication. The doctors are not doing those things. One of them is you do not give L-Troxin to new patients. You give them Gold Shield or Synthroid. However, we're still getting new members on our Tansy site who are complaining of how they're feeling. First question we ask is, what brand are you on? And 9 out of 10 times, it's L-Troxin.
What's Gold Shield? Is that another brand of T4-only medication?
Yes. Yes, we have L-Troxin, Gold Shield, and Synthroid.
Okay, and so the reason that the doctors would first give the patients Gold Shield and Synthroid is because they have fewer fillers and fewer adverse reactions, or what exactly is the background behind that? That's how it is, right?
Yes. People do better on Gold Shield or Synthroid. They don't get the side effects that they do on Eltroxin.
Okay.
The problem is that Eltroxin is the drug of choice from Pharmac, which is the purchasing arm of our government. And they've made a deal, of course, bulk. They buy in bulk, and Eltroxin is the one that comes in, and that's the preferred medication. So our doctors prescribe the preferred medication, and you have to actually ask for the other ones. But not everyone knows to ask.
No. That's exactly why you're doing what you're doing, right? Educating patients.
Right.
Yeah, just telling people that there is a choice. And there are different ways they could take their medication. There's other things they could try, supplements they might add that would help. And so often they don't know any of that. And we can all share our experiences. And even if it helps one or two people, then, you know, I think we've done our job.
Absolutely you have. I think it's amazing that we can all get together online and help each other and help educate people who don't know, because that's the thing. I remember I was one of those people. I mean, I just took it for what it was. The doctor told me to take the medicine, and I didn't question. I wasn't really taught to question. I took the medicine, and I actually got worse. It wasn't then that I started questioning. So I'm trying to teach my children, and I'm trying to educate people that they need to be asking questions from the get-go, from the very beginning. What is it? What is this? What's in it? You know, is there any substitutions? Are there other medications I can be taking instead of this? Is there natural ways I can go about doing it as well? And I think that's a really good thing that you're providing that for people over there in New Zealand, because evidently the government isn't going to help, right?
No.
Talking about substitutions, one thing that I've noticed here, and I wonder if it happens over in New Zealand, is that I'm on which one is it? I'm having a brain fart. There's one particular thyroid medication that doesn't have a lot of fillers, and I'm on that, and a couple of times they just substituted it for another brand. I was like, really? What the hell? You know? And so now, every time I get it filled, I make sure that they don't substitute it. I think it's very rude and irresponsible, because who knows? You know, there could be something that you're highly allergic to as a patient, and you're assuming you're getting the regular one, you know?
Yes. I actually, we've just had this discussion recently about when you go and have your blood tests, and the technician asks you what medication you're on, or are you on thyroid medication? And because I've been on whole thyroid, Nature Thyroid, for 6 years now, the technician, they just write whole thyroid. I had this new guy who, as I was saying whole thyroid, he wrote thyroxine. And I said, no, I'm allergic to that. I'm on whole thyroid. So he scrubbed it out, wrote it down. And I thought, wait and see what my results say. My results say I'm on thyroxine.
Right.
Yeah.
And yes, we've had the same problem, Sarah, where people have been on, say, Gold Shield or Synthroid, and the chemist has run out of those pills. So looking back on their past history, which could be a few years old, have seen that they were once on Eltroxin. So the chemist goes, oh, well, you can have Eltroxin again. I've run out of Gold Shield. Gives them Eltroxin. The patient doesn't check the bottle to see what brand it is, and starts merrily taking it and starts getting sick. And wondering what.
That's crazy.
Yes.
One of our team, the lovely Tiffany Tuckham Ladnich, I don't even know if I pronounced her name right. Anyway,
you did.
She commented that there should be a disclosure from the pharmacist when they dispense the drug that they've changed the prescription, and they don't do that. And I'm like, why wouldn't they do that? You know, it's crazy and irresponsible. Do they do that in New Zealand? Well, it doesn't sound like they do, right?
No, this particular chemist said that if they run out of what you have been taking, so say you have been taking Synthroid and they haven't got any in stock, they look at the records. And if you've had Altroxin before, they'll give it to you. So you'd need to actually have on your chemist's records that you are allergic to Altroxin and it is not to be dispensed. You
okay.
actually have to be proactive.
What about in the States, Sarah, do you know, or team out there, do you guys know if there's any kind of mandate that, as I haven't been there in a long time, so I don't really know, that they change the medication, that they let you know?
I've had it happen. What you can do is you can mark on the prescription, I think there's either a box or there's something that the doctor can write, no substitutions. So you can do that, but otherwise, unless the doctor or the pharmacist actually marks that, you know, they can just substitute it and not tell you, and I just find it so rude. And I've had that happen from now on. I always check, you know, you just have to.
I wonder how many people out there right now in New Zealand and in the States or anywhere have had their medication substituted and don't really know and are feeling worse.
Exactly.
To me, that just seems, you know, more than irresponsible. It seems very dangerous.
So it's a wake-up call to everybody listening. You know, check your medication,
yes.
Check the label, check that you're getting what you actually asked for every time you go to the pharmacy, because they can just substitute it without
single time.
You.
Yeah, every single
apparently
time.
Apparently it has to say on the prescription, dispense as written. That's what Tiffany was just saying. And also another thing that she was wondering about is how common is, do you know how common thyroid disease is in New Zealand? Are there any statistics for that?
When we first started the whole Altroxin journey, it was reported that there were 70,000 hypothyroid people. No statistics on how many were hyper. So I would imagine it's around about the same, although here in Christchurch it wouldn't surprise me if it was higher, the statistics were higher now with the earthquake stress. So
I was wondering about
right.
that. How do you think that the earthquake has affected, you know, people's thyroid issues?
Hey, that was my question.
Sorry. I guess
go
I
ahead.
Get you to the post, didn't I?
We haven't really got any statistics, but we've got a lot of people on our Facebook page that are Christchurch-based or have been in Christchurch and are now living somewhere else. Jilly and I both believe there's adrenal fatigue is huge in Christchurch. Yeah. So, and then of course you've got autoimmune with the stress, and you know I would say it's a lot higher than it was.
Just to give some statistics, New Zealand has a population of just over 4 million. We're only a little tiny country. And in Christchurch, there would be now about 350,000 people. Used to be 400,000 people, but because of the earthquakes, many people have left. I myself, as I say, I've been hyperthyroid for over 40 years, but only 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's. And I read somewhere that one of the causes of Hashi's is stress. So I do wonder, after all these years, how come I'm suddenly diagnosed with Hashimoto's?
Well, that's an interesting coincidence, isn't it? Or maybe not such a coincidence.
Yeah.
Have there been any chemical issues caused by the earthquake?
Ah, chlorine.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, our water was heavily chlorinated afterwards. Not so much now that you would notice, but I still suspect that some water systems have chlorine in them. My husband had a heart attack about a year after the earthquakes, and absolutely no risk factors whatsoever. His cholesterol only needed a tiny wee tweak, and we actually put that down to the increase of chlorine. And when you're having a shower, the heat you just come out of the water and you could smell it off your skin. So we put the higher incidence of heart attacks down to that. I don't know whether it's actually connected, but I suspect it is.
And what year were the earthquakes?
End of 2010, beginning 2011, they're big ones.
We've had 15,000 earthquakes since September 2010.
Wow. That's staggering.
Yes.
Staggering.
Yep. I'm still getting
them. Yeah, because I was going to ask you if you noticed any, or if you, you know, had heard of any statistics based on Fukushima, but I guess that was about the same time, so I guess you wouldn't be able to. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference, right? So.
Well, we don't have nuclear reactors here, so that's one good thing.
No, right. Yes. No, but I just wondered if you, you know, had, you know, experienced any adverse, you know, reactions with, you know, if you'd heard anything that came down the pipe from Fukushima is basically what my question was.
No,
we haven't. To be honest, I haven't really paid much attention to it. We sort of live in our own little bubble here.
I'm still trying to get my house fixed. My house was damaged in September 2010, and I'm still fighting to get it repaired.
That's awful. The government they have not been very supportive at all, correct?
That is correct. So, and the biggest problem, I think, is in the insurance companies. There's so many people now who've spent 5 years almost in limbo, which can't be good for the health. And so many people are just walking away now, taking huge loss in their house price, their bank balance. So it's just constant stress, really.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, wow, that's on top of all of your health issues, to have that added to the stress makes it that much more worse. And what about Tracy, Jilly? She had Graves, correct?
Yes, it did.
Can she hear?
She's been talking with you.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yeah, I'm here. I probably had Graves since puberty, but I didn't know it until I was 35. I had the hugest goiter, the biggest bulging eyes, every symptom, including very wicked pre-tibial myxedema, and my family GP just never really looked at me. I'd had three kids with him, well, not with him, but he had been my GP since I was 14. And my mother just said to me one day, she'd seen, I think it was like Dr. Oz or somebody on TV, and she said, well, next time you go to the doctor, ask him about your thyroid. And I thought, oh, you're right. And I did. And he looked up at me and went, oh, yes. Got on the phone and ordered me a scan the next day. Unheard of, usually 3 to 4 months just to get something urgent done through our system. And I was in the specialist's office 2 days later being told I had Graves. And I will just give you this drug, carbimazole, and no talk about any possibility that there could be an allergic reaction, anything like that. Within 3 months, I had an allergic reaction. So he put me on propylthiouracil, which was PTU. Was okay on that for a year. And then I had erythema nodosum, which is a drug reaction. Right over Christmas, I was really lucky that the locum I got recognised it immediately. And so no more pills, was booked in for radioactive iodine. And I went in to have a smear just to get it out of the way. And the nurse says, oh, I'll do a pregnancy test. And I said, no, I'm not pregnant. And she came back and said, yes, you are. So That was my super surprise number four. And it was a crazy pregnancy. No anti-thyroid drugs at all. But then all my others had been unmedicated because I didn't know I had Graves anyway. But by that stage, it was so severe that I had a heart murmur. I had anything that could go wrong did go wrong, and ended up in having him by emergency C-section early because I'd actually gone into labour over one weekend. He was almost 6 weeks early. All my others had been overdue. And still drug-free until he was 6 months old when I had my total thyroidectomy. And ever since then, I've been on hypo meds, to which the specialist said, oh, no, there's no problem. You won't be allergic to them. They just replace what your body normally makes.
Say again, what did you say you've been on ever since then? Hypo?
It was Eltroxin, the original Eltroxin. And I did okay. I thought I was okay, but actually I was alive, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. Once I'd started on the new formulated Eltroxin, I immediately had erythema nodosum, so I knew that there was a problem with it, but my doctor said there was nothing else I could take. And I didn't, at that stage, I didn't even know that there were other brands of T4 medication. And I think it was probably about 6 months before I started talking on a message board with somebody else who had asked, what's going on? I'm really sick with my medication. And her name was Margot. And I started chatting with her on the Trade Me message board. And slowly we got more and more people coming into that thread. And it kept getting deleted because we were sharing phone numbers and websites and information. So we moved into a forum, didn't we?
Mm.
Yeah. And then we tried a Yahoo group, and then we ended up on Facebook. And over that time, I'd done some research on Stop the Thyroid Madness, found that you could get whole thyroid by talking with my pharmacist, went to my doctor. He said, oh, okay, I don't know anything about it, but I'll do your prescription. I trust you. You're an intelligent woman.
Little did he know.
You're not going to kill yourself, he said. And we really had no idea about dosing. I started too high and I increased too high and gave myself a little fright. But then the folk on Stop the Thyroid Madness were fantastic, gave me some more information about it. And then somebody else mentioned Tessa Jones, who is a specialist who's based in Wellington. And I saw her. She gave me some supplements, sorted out dosing, and I've been really good ever since. And that was 2009.
Talking of different brands of medication, another one of our team, Raina Krantz, was asking if you have something similar to Tyrosynth there in New Zealand. So it's a soft gel capsule that was introduced a couple of years ago in the US, and it's supposed to be better absorbed than regular Synthroid, or in your case, Eltroxin. Do you have something similar to that?
I don't think so.
I haven't heard of that.
No.
Would be interesting to see. I guess you could ask, right?
Yep, definitely.
Is it a T4 medication?
Right?
It's definitely one of the newer brands of medication. But I was just googling it, and it looks like it's been around since at least 2010. I think I forget when it was launched exactly.
The name does sound familiar, but then I've done a lot of research on American sites, so I've probably seen it there.
Mm.
I don't think it's here.
And if it is, it would not be subsidised. With New Zealand, Pharmac subsidise medications. So, for example, with Eltroxin, Gold Shield and Synthroid, it costs you $5 for 3 months of pills. Whereas,
wow.
$5 for 3 months, good deal. But with armour, what we call whole thyroid, that is not subsidised. It is approved, it can be scripted, but you pay for it. So for me, I pay $80 for 3 months.
Yep, and I pay...
But well worth it.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. I pay $140 a month. And it's can be difficult to find the money, but it's definitely worth it. I'd be in bed doing nothing if I was on Ultrosim.
Do you
and
do
did
you
guys say
socialized medicine over there? So how does the how does the medical system work? Is it similar to the one in the UK?
Possibly a little bit. We have the subsidised medications are the ones that Pharmac usually will buy in bulk. They might have a deal with a manufacturer and they'll bring in like 10 different medications from that one manufacturer. So that will be a subsidised medication and will only cost $5 per script. Other stuff like whole thyroid is not subsidised. They'd prefer people didn't take it, but they can't stop us. They haven't disapproved it. But it is difficult to get a doctor who will prescribe it or who even knows how to prescribe it. So it's a mission in itself, just getting it.
Okay,
and because it's so expensive, and then quite often you have to pay your specialists a lot of money as well to be able to get a prescription for it. So it's not a cheap business being sick here.
Oh, no.
No.
I don't think it's really a cheap business anywhere.
No.
It doesn't make it any easier when you have to struggle to get the medication that actually works for you, does it?
That's true.
Especially when people are actually sick, where they are do have symptoms of, for example, hyperthyroidism, you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed, you lose your motivation. So to actually go to a doctor and fight for what you want when you are sick because of the medication, it's like a wee circle going round and round. You're not healthy enough to fight for what you need to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Or even
it's
to research.
Circle.
Or
true.
Yeah, or even to
and
research
your brain
or read books
at the same
or,
time.
Mm.
Exactly.
Do you have a lot of iodine deficiency in New Zealand?
Yes.
That you think could be causing that?
Yes.
I mean,
iodine, selenium, and magnesium, really. Zinc too, I think. Mm. Yeah.
The selenium should be in the soil, but with New Zealand, the further south you go, the lower the levels of selenium and the higher the rate of hyperthyroidism. So I think there's a connection there.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely go hand in hand. Your proof, yes. Right?
Yep.
talking about the soil, one thing that I do remember hearing about New Zealand, didn't they ban GMOs? So do you find that in New Zealand it's actually easier to get healthy food, without chemical stuff? Because I really feel that food plays a huge role in our health, and a lot of times people get sick because, they're ingesting antibiotics and hormones, and over here in the US it seems like they're in everything.
Yes, we don't have GMO food as such, but I have read that some of the cows are being fed GMO corn. So that's not a good thing. Our Green Party is trying to fight that. We do not have GMO seed. Our crops are pure and natural. But I was concerned to find that we're importing food that are being fed to our cows that may be GMO.
Oh, no. Do you feel that most New Zealanders are quite educated about what goes into their food, and that they're very they really value having food that's pure?
No, I wouldn't say that's a common thing. We just expect it to be pure, so therefore we don't look into it. We've always
so you take
been
it for granted, maybe,
country.
Right?
Pardon?
So maybe it's just a case of you take it for granted because that's just the way it is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Must be nice not to have to worry about it.
Well, many of us have a backyard garden. I do. I grow my own veggies.
Mhm.
And we take that for granted, that we can do that.
And what about your diet? Do you try to be gluten free, dairy free? How do you guys handle your food and that kind of thing?
I have great intentions.
My phrase about the road to hell.
Exactly. Yes. Well, I mean, we've talked about going gluten free, but at the moment we're on the sugar free kick. We saw that sugar film a couple of months ago, and my husband has for years resisted giving up sugar in his coffee, and I took him to this movie, didn't want to go. We came out of there, the whole trip home, he's talking about it. We get home, he goes through the cupboards and starts looking at all the things that he likes to eat and looking at how much sugar was added to it. He immediately stopped having his sugar in his coffee, and he's lost 2 kilos.
Wow.
just by doing
wow.
that. Yeah. So we're reducing sugar. I think that's probably the first step.
Wow.
Yeah. Gluten next.
Many of the members on our thyroid site have gone totally gluten free, and what they say is they feel so much healthier. So it must be a good thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm the same way. I have tried to completely cut out my gluten, and I haven't really noticed a difference. But we had Melissa Phipps on the show as the guest co-host last week, and she was talking about you may not feel it, but it's still affecting you. You may not ever feel it, and if you were, you know, let's say you were gluten-free from now until the rest of your life, you may not ever feel it, but maybe you'll look younger, you'll feel better, you won't realize it because it really does affect you even if you don't notice it. And I'm one of those that doesn't. I don't have reactions that I can see, and I'm trying to be more diligent about paying attention to my body after I eat and things. But it's interesting, right? And because some people can feel it immediately. I know Tiffany, you know, my co-host, can feel it immediately with some things, and I can't. I had a pizza the other night, and I was thinking, okay, I'm having pizza, so this rare occasion, I'm going to pay attention. And the next day, I didn't notice anything. I just didn't. Not that it's good for me, and not that I should have it, right?
One of the things that I personally find about being gluten free is that you automatically end up eating less crap because gluten is just in so many processed foods, which are not good for us anyway. So you end up, you know, being more choosy about the quality of your food and making more things from scratch. And of course, you're usually, unless you're replacing the gluten with gluten-free carbs, which is not really the best way to do it, you're automatically eating fewer carbs, which is something that thyroid patients tend to be more sensitive to anyway. So it can work well for some people. And then there are those with celiac disease who don't even have symptoms. It's crazy, but it's still tearing up their gut and the little hairs in their gut.
Exactly. Even me, and I pushed it last, you know, the other night and had pizza, right? But it still affects you even if you can or can't feel it. So that would be a good thing for you guys to try. Maybe you should document, and once you guys do it, you should let us know how it goes.
Sounds an idea.
Yeah.
Again, the room to hell.
Exactly.
The only gluten I eat really is bread, and it's really hard to find a nice gluten-free bread.
Oh, yes, it is. I can relate to that. You actually get to the point where you almost lose your taste for bread because there's no point in eating the substitutes, you know?
Yes.
They put so much crap in it, unless you make your own, of course, which you can do also with a bread machine.
Okay, so since I can't tell you apart, Sarah can, but I can't tell you with your heavy, wonderful accent. One of you said you were growing a garden. What about the other one?
That was Jilly. Jilly's growing a garden.
Yep, I've got
okay, that's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure. Okay, Tracy, what about you?
Well, We've just moved, and I don't have as much land as I used to, but we do have a separate chook yard. So we've got five of the little beggars that
chickens, right?
Chickens, yes.
Yes.
You're speaking New Zealand, babe. The only reason I know what a chook is because I watched a lot of Home and Away when I was younger.
Yes. Sorry, chickens. Yes. But we do have, we're in the process of building pallet gardens so that we can line our fence with them. And so that'll be my veggie garden, will be on the wall.
Do you, well, Tiffany was asking, do you have a lot of soy in your food?
I avoid soy. I don't think it's good for us. Unless it's fermented, but otherwise I don't have soy in the house. I try and buy things that don't have it.
Yeah, same here.
And do you guys try to limit your dairy as well, or that sounds like sure hell, doesn't it? I mean, no sugar, no dairy, no gluten.
Yes, there's not a lot left to eat apart from lettuce.
And mandarin.
Yeah, it gets overwhelming at times, doesn't it? I had a doctor who recently tried to put me on an autoimmune paleo diet, and to be honest, I gave up after 3 weeks because it was hell, and I did not feel any better, and I actually did not have the energy, you know, because I need a lot of energy when I have such a physical job massaging people. And so what works for one person definitely does not work for everybody, and I think that's an important thing to realize.
Totally. I would not give up my dairy. I don't have a problem with it. As I say, I've been hyperthyroid for over 40 years, and what I eat doesn't affect me personally. I know other people do, but I think they also have other issues that just have not been identified. Each person is different.
Everybody's different. We say that every week, don't we?
Yeah, same here.
Well, you guys, it has been absolutely wonderful for you to join us halfway around the world. Today it's Monday, right? I know, Jilly, you said you got the day off with your boss, right? What about you, Tracy?
Yep, I still got to go to work.
Oh, no.
And I had a really early start.
I actually am the boss. We own our own
business. I know, I was thinking that. I was going to say, thank your boss, and then I realized.
But I was working yesterday, and I was working the day before.
Me too. I'm sort of
and
my
it's
own
so
boss
wonderful
as well.
To talk to you guys.
It was
lovely to connect.
Yeah, I'm glad we managed it in the end.
Yes,
we
did, didn't we?
Provided us with a lot of interesting information.
Thank you so much for inviting us, Sarah. This has been quite an experience
it
for
has.
Us.
It's our pleasure, and I know you were initially a little nervous, but I think you both did really, really well.
Thank you.
Yes. It was really good, and it was wonderful to connect with both of you. I think it's really fabulous that we're able to do this so far away, so I really, really appreciate you guys coming on and also writing your Thyroid Thriver story, and I think it'd be wonderful if you guys could just kind of keep in touch with us and let us know how you're doing with no sugar and how many, you know, kilos you're losing, right?
Yes, I've lost 11 so far since Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
How many pounds? 11 kilos. That's going to be about 22 pounds, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, gosh, is it?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes. I just looked. 1 kilo is 2.2 yes. pounds.
That's right.
First time
that's
in my life.
Weight, literally.
Yep, it's a whole dress size.
Well, thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. We're going to let you go. I really, really want to thank both of you for coming on.
Thank you.
Bye. And also, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. We'd also like to say a very big thank you, as always, to our amazing Thyroid Nation radio team and their fantastic questions. Without them, the show wouldn't have been possible. That is Raina Krantz, Laura Scheunemann, Melissa Phipps, Blythe Clifford, Penny Jensen, Sarah Darling, that's me, Marissa Ravler, and Shannon Garrett, autoimmune registered nurse, who is, please check out their bios, their Thriver stories, their Facebook support groups, their blogs, and of course their website links at thyroidnation.com radio. And make sure you follow Thyroid Nation on the World Wide Web, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and in the Facebook group, Hashies and Graves Facebook group, and there you can ask questions and talk with others.
And you can be sure to follow Julie and Tracy on their thyroid journey over there in New Zealand at their website, thyroidnz.org. And what, I can't remember the name of their Facebook group. Do you remember? Is it Thyroid?
It should be Tansy.
Advocacy New Zealand? Tansy, right.
The okay. Thyroid Association of New Zealand, and the acronym is Tansy.
New Zealand, right.
With a Z, yeah.
Tansy, yes.
Thyroid, well, actually,
so make sure you guys check them out. Yes. Make sure you check them out as well, and be sure to tune in next week here on Thyroid Nation Radio. We're going to be talking with two Graves thyroid advocates, Gina Lopez Langone, L-A-N-G-O-N-E. So is that Langone or Langone? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to get in trouble. And Brittany Robinson, they both have written their Thyroid Thriver stories for us. So they're going to be on live with us. It's going to be fantastic. So make sure you check that out next week.
And we want to remind you all that wellness is a journey and takes continual maintenance and evaluation. Make sure to always listen to your own body and be mindful of what it is telling you.
Thank you, guys. This is Dana, your Thyroid Nation Gringa Tika from Costa Rica.
And Sarah Downing, filling in for the wonderful and fabulous Tiffany of GratefulGarden.biz.
Bringing the collective voice of Thyroid Thriver worldwide so that together, united, we heal. Thank you, guys. See you next week.
See you next week. Take care.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.